I love the book of James. It's just so rich. And in chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Ah, that's a hard one. You know, I love my Bible so much, but sometimes I really feel like arguing with it. And when I read scriptures like that, I just have to remember to trust His Word more than my feelings. I don't feel so great. I don't feel like celebrating and counting it joy when I'm having various trials. But when I trust God, even when I don't understand or like what Scripture is saying, it's what I need to know. And that works. It's worked my entire life, and I guarantee you it will work for you. Here's a question from Twitter. This question is from Marianne, and she says, "Why does God hate me? I've been a Christian for many years, and nothing is going right." Marianne, I promise you, God does not hate you. He loves you so much. But I appreciate your honesty. And when life is hard, sometimes we do feel like nothing is going right. But Marianne, for you and for everybody else, there is something good that can come out of our struggles. And Joyce will explain as she answers the question, "How can my struggles help me?"
Now, let me say that trials are not evidence of God's displeasure and anger. When you're already having a trial, the last thing you need is condemnation heaped on top of you that you have some big sin in your life that has now caused this problem. And isn't that the first place our minds go sometimes? I was ministering to a woman sometime over the past year, and she had an autistic son, and actually God just gave me a word of wisdom in a meeting. I didn't know the woman, but I saw a child about 9 years old with brown hair, and I knew that his mother felt guilty, like it was her fault that he was autistic. And so I just shared that, and sure enough, within 24 hours, the woman got a hold of Mike and said, "Well, here's my 9-year-old son with the brown hair." And that was exactly right. I have felt guilty ever since he was born, like maybe I did something wrong and it was my fault. The devil loves to load us down with guilt and condemnation about everything, but God loves to help us. And see, the thing you're going to read in a few minutes is, even if through our own stupidity we did get ourselves in trouble, which is the case a lot of times, God still will help us if we ask Him to. Now, who could get upset about a deal like that? So, just a few things that, ways that trials can help you, because I know you want to know how they can help you, right? They train us and they force us to use our faith, and eventually we become stable during the storms of life. Number two, they humble us. There's nothing that will humble you quicker than to have something that you absolutely cannot handle and have to go to somebody else and ask for help. 2 Corinthians 12:7, 1 biblical example. The Apostle Paul, who was having such tremendous revelations from God, was actually taken up to the third heavens and saw things that he didn't even know how to describe. And yet the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, "And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted." Now, there's been so much conversation about what Paul's thorn was, and I frankly don't care. The point was, he didn't like it, and he begged God to get rid of it, and God said, "No. My grace is sufficient for you because of all these wonderful things that are happening through you and all these things that I'm showing you." We got to have a little bit of a basing here to keep things in balance. And you know, over in Philippians, Paul said, "I've learned how to be content, whether I'm abased or abounding." And years ago, as I studied that, I thought, what was it that he learned? He said, "I've learned how to be content." What was it that he learned that kept him that stable and that much the same, whether he liked his circumstances or he didn't? And isn't that where we want to be? You don't want to have a lousy circumstance come along and ruin your week, do you? You don't want to have somebody else do something that you couldn't control and now have to give up your joy because they decided to have a bad day. That's not what Jesus died for us to have. He wants us to have peace and joy and to be stable and to have it all the time, no matter what's going on in our circumstances. Amen? Satan is the god of this world, and he can mess around with our circumstances. But if we trust God, he will use every one of them to our good. They will help us grow spiritually, and as we stay strong in him, then we will see additional blessings in our life according to what God knows that we can handle. And so Paul said, I've learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed. Being content doesn't mean you never want to see any change in your life. There's all kinds of things that I want to see changed and all kinds of people that I want to see changed. But thankfully, I've come to the point where I'm not upset about it now. I'm not losing my joy. You know why? I'm really well aware that only God can change it. And me being upset about it is not going to get him to move any faster. And so he said, I've learned how to be content, whether I'm abased or abounding. And he said that because he trusted God so much that he knew that if he was going through a time of difficulty, that there was a reason for it. Even if he didn't understand it, he trusted God to work it out for his good. Can we believe that all things work together for our good if we trust God? All things. But let's be able to believe that while we're in it. See, a lot of times we can go through very difficult things, and 3-4 years down the road, we can look back and say, oh, I see how God used that in my life. It worked out for good. Can any of you think of stuff like that right now? I see how God used that in my life. It worked out good. But God wants us to get it on this side. See, the Israelites danced and sang, but they did it on the wrong side of the Red Sea. They wait till they got through the Red Sea, and then they had a party. God wanted them to dance on this side when they were facing it. Amen. They remind us to be totally dependent on God. They help us develop character, and we give glory to God. Revelation 12:11 says we overcome him being Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of our testimony. Well, you can't have a testimony without a test. Testimony. What we have to make sure of is that when we're done, we don't just have the monies and still don't have a testimony, because in God's economy, if you don't pass the test, you get to take it again. Now, patience. Patience. Well, we had a piece of property we needed to sell. Well, I'll put it like this. I wanted to sell it. I don't know if need is the right word, but I wanted to sell it. So 3.5 years, we didn't even get an offer. And 3.5 years is a long time for me to wait. Now, Dave couldn't have cared less if we sold it in 2 days or 10 years, you know, because he's just like, it'll sell at the right time. God will sell at the right time. You know, sometime if you need to grow in patience and you're around somebody that's really patient, aren't they annoying? Don't you just want to like rip their hair out once in a while? Say, could you just have a good fit so I don't feel so bad? And I'm praying about this piece of property. I'm getting people to agree with me about selling this piece of property. I'm rebuking the devil because I'm not getting any offers on my property. I'm confessing that my property is sold in Jesus' name. And one morning, I started to talk to the Lord again about the property, and he said, will you forget that property? Will you just forget that property and let me take care of it? Now, don't miss the second half of what I said. Well, you forget about it. See, some of you have issues and you've just been camped on top of them so long that God couldn't get a chance to help you if he tried. You almost got to get to the point where you just flat out don't care. And it's like, it's up to you. Will you forget about that? Now, as God is my witness, I'm telling you the absolute truth. In 2 weeks, it sold. Now, it would come back to my mind, and I would just say, nope, God's taking care of that. Now, you know, I'm not saying that you can't pray about things for a long time, but I will be honest and say I think there comes a time where we don't need to pray about something anymore. Maybe if it comes to your mind, you can just say, thank you, God, you're taking care of that. That's a type of prayer too, you know? But we don't have to just keep asking for the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, when a man is fully patient, James says, they're perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Now, that's an amazing scripture. And you know what that basically means, if I can just give it to you in the short way of what I think. I think it means when we become fully patient, we so trust God for his timing, his way, that we know that God will take care of it. We know that God will do what we've asked, if indeed that is his will. And to be honest, I believe the church worldwide needs to grow spiritually to the point where we really, truly don't want anything that's not God's will. Because we can't be happy with anything that's not God's will. I don't care how much I want it, if it's not right for me, then instead of trying to finagle around and figure out a way to get it, amen? You know, there's a scripture in Psalms, I think it's in 106, where when the Israelites got tired of manna, they got tired of their miracle bread, they wanted meat. Give us meat, give us meat, give us meat. And so the Bible says that God was unable to restrain their insistent desires. They just kept it up and kept it up and kept it up. And so he said, okay, you want meat? I'm going to give you meat. And he gave them meat, and they had meat to eat till it was running out their nostrils. And then it says, but he sent leanness into their souls. So see, I may crab around enough to get what I want. God may even sometimes give us what we demand to show us it's not really what we want. Amen? Oh, you think this is what you want? Okay, here. But then if we have leanness in our souls, if we're not happy inside and we're not content inside, some of you think you'd just be happy if you had more money. And I'm not at all against having more money. I mean, money's a comfortable thing to have. But the world is full of people that have gazoodles of money and they are so miserable. So we have to see things for what they are.